Welcome to the Frugal Networker podcast show with technology author, columnist, product reviewer, blogger, and your host, Ken Hess.
Thanks for joining us, everyone, and welcome to a Frugal Networker podcast. I know it's been a while, but we're back in full swing, and my guest today is Don Boxley. Don is the CEO and co-founder of DH2i, and he has an announcement to make about his new product, and then I'll ask a few questions of him. Welcome to the show, Don. It's great to have you on. Please go ahead with your announcement.
All right, Ken, thanks so much for the opportunity to just kind of walk through what we're announcing here next week. Quick agenda, going to just kind of cover our company, kind of talk about, you know, how we got here, what we're announcing, and kind of summarize it. DH2i, you know, we're a software company. We've been at this for a long time. We started a company back in August of 2010, really with the goal of helping customers to reduce the number of operating systems that they need to manage. And we do that by creating software that allows customers to decouple workloads from infrastructure and gives them the opportunity to move a workload from any host to any host anywhere at any time. And as we started our company, we really focused on the Windows space. And so our initial customers, they bought our product really primarily for three reasons. One, we helped them significantly reduce their planned and unplanned downtime. And particularly on the plan side, you know, being able to generate RTOs less than 60 seconds was a real win for them. And then, you know, we met our objective of helping them to reduce the number of operating systems, depending on their infrastructure. If they were virtual machine primarily kind of infrastructure, they could see 3 to 5x reductions. If they were running bare metal, you know, 10 to 15, you know, if they kind of hybrid environment, you know, something in the middle. So, but they definitely saw a significant amount of reduction in number of operating systems, which just kind of followed into the last bullet there of seeing significant reductions in the amount of software and infrastructure they needed to manage and spend for. So we think it's a huge marketplace. We've been successful in the enterprise. You know, financially, we've been doing well. And, you know, we're a self-funded company, which is pretty extraordinary when you think about trying to sell into the data center with enterprise-level software. Just moving on to the next slide, just reiterating, today, we ship primarily Windows. That's what we ship as a product that's focused on the Windows ecosystem. It supports any version of Windows SQL Server and Windows Server that a customer might have. It also allows us to encapsulate Oracle workloads or other application services that run under Windows Server in addition to file shares. And one of the keys to making all that work is when we encapsulate a workload, we also virtualize the connection string to the outside world and to the data. And so when workloads move from one host to another host, that connection string never breaks, which gives that customer the opportunity to really find the best place to run their workloads. You know, we've been successful in enterprise. We've got a large number of customers cutting across industry segments, financial, healthcare, manufacturing, government, et cetera. So here's some of the customers that we've had, and many of these customers have been with us a long time. But as we looked forward, thinking about our business, we saw that a transformation was going under or taking place in the industry. People were more and more concerned about making their business more digital. It is digital business transformation. And some of the key metrics that we were keeping track of kind of got us to thinking, spurring us on to think about, okay, how might we help customers make that transition? A couple things that we saw: the growth of Linux in the enterprise, significant growth of Linux, the operating system in the enterprise. We also saw significant growth of Linux-based open source databases in the enterprise. And we also, you know, over the last several years have seen significant activity around the development of containers for the enterprise. So as we started to think about that, I said, okay, so how can we play there? In addition to just seeing that growth, we also saw that, just looking at research, there's a lot of uncertainty in the minds of our current customers and potential customers about, you know, what the future is about. Just looking at some research that was published by Dell recently, you know, they surveyed about 4,000 users and business leaders. A couple things that they found: one, that 45% of them were fearful about, you know, what their business was going to be like in the next 3 to 5 years. 48% just, they weren't even sure what their business was going to look like in the future. And just seemed like everybody was concerned about some software startup that was going to just show up and completely annihilate what they were doing. And so recent events, I think, it kind of hammered that home for a lot of customers in terms of how they look at their businesses. When, you know, last year, if you talk to the executives at Safeway, they probably have a very different answer about who their competitors are if you talk to them today, given that Amazon has now bought one of their competitors and is looking to transform the way we as consumers buy groceries. So as we look forward, we said, you know, one of the places that we could help customers with and what they're challenged with in terms of making that transition to a more digital business is the fact that they've got a significant amount of legacy infrastructure that they're managing. If you look at the numbers, you know, the number of operating systems that have been installed for Windows and Linux, it's in the, you know, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of operating systems. And an operating system doesn't exist in a vacuum. Every operating system is on some kind of server, physical, virtual, cloud, and every server has a whole host of other stuff that goes with it: power, cooling, storage, networking, et cetera. So customers are vexed with, I've got this huge infrastructure. How can I transform it without breaking it? Because that infrastructure is running my business today. So what we thought and what we think is what customers should be looking to invest in technologies that will allow them to harness that infrastructure more dynamically. Specifically, they need to invest in technologies that will allow them to take their workloads and move them dynamically to the best execution venue that makes sense for them. When they're able to do that, they're going to see a couple things right away. They're going to significantly see a reduction in the number of operating systems. And because of that reduction, they're going to see faster transformation of their infrastructure. So when we took all that together, that kind of led us to what we're announcing next week in terms of our next version of DX Enterprise, which is our enterprise software, V17. What we're announcing is a unified Windows Linux smart availability solution for databases and Docker. Again, looking at that data that I cited earlier, with the growth of Linux in the enterprise, with the growth of container-based applications in the enterprise, we felt like this is where our customers were going to be, right? They're not going to be just Windows. They're not going to be just Linux, right? They probably right now are Windows and Linux. So giving them a way to unify that environment to make their workloads in both of those cases smartly available, we think is a huge innovation. And so with our solution, customers are going to have the flexibility to manage that multi-platform environment for their legacy database applications like SQL Server and Oracle, and future stuff around Docker containers, right? Without having to, and here's the key, without having to standardize their entire infrastructure on a single database or a single operating system edition or version, right? Because that's not where people are at. You know, you walk into any major company today and you ask them, you know, how many versions of this do you have? And, you know, how many editions of that do you have? And nobody's going to say, oh yeah, we're just vanilla. We only have one edition of this and only one version of that. That's not realistic at all. So that's where we come into play, is being able to come into that environment as it is, that chaos, if you will, and make it simpler for customers by allowing them to encapsulate their workloads on the fly and then make them so that they can move them from any host to any other host, anywhere in their environment at any point in time, always able to find the best execution and venue for their workloads. So with V17, again, we're going to be able to support a mixed operating system environment. So customers will be able to use us with their Red Hat environments, their Ubuntu and CentOS, in addition to the Windows Server environments. They'll be able to use us with their Docker, both for Windows and Linux. They'll be able to use us for SQL Server and Oracle and other applications that they may have created, right, that we'll be able to encapsulate. So that's a huge innovation that doesn't exist today. And we're really excited because we think that when customers have that ability to encapsulate workloads and move them around, they can start to think differently about how they manage their applications, right? So instead of it, okay, I've got it here running on this old box and I got to migrate it to this new box, migration is no longer the conversation piece. It's about moving it where it makes sense, because it may be that that old box does some things pretty well, right? But for just a small period of time or a large period of time during the course of a month, it would be nice to be able to take advantage of this other piece of capability. And with our ability to dynamically move workloads around now, a customer could take a workload that's running on an Ubuntu environment and move it onto a RHEL environment in seconds, get the result that they're looking for, and then move it back to the Ubuntu environment. The same for Windows, right? That's always existed for our customers, to move something that's running on, you know, bare metal box, move it to something that's running on a virtual machine, move it to something in the cloud, and decide, you know, it's been running there long enough, I've kind of used up my budget, now I need to move that back on premise. And all that can take place in a matter of seconds. So that's what we're announcing. That's what we're pretty excited about. It's a way for customers to really start thinking differently about high availability, instead of something being just tied to, I need to provide a failover target for a specific workload. Now my workloads are free to move wherever they need to move, right, in terms of the best execution environment for that particular workload at that particular point in time. So that's our story. I'll stop there and just take any questions that you may have.
Great, thank you. I do have a few questions here for you. So one of them is, what is the ultimate company size, or you know, however you guys kind of look at your customer base? I mean, who would be your ultimate customer, in other words?
Yeah, you know, I mean, our customers are by and large, I would say they start at high mid-range customers, right? Customers that have revenues probably north of $2 to $3 billion, or they're large government organizations, cities, state government, you know, agencies of those nature. So anybody kind of at that level and above is where we generally play. We're definitely not for small SMBs. Product is just it's overkill for what those customers need. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sure. I get that. So, yeah. What kind of expertise level is required to use DX Enterprise? Is it something that someone needs training for, or can you just go in and kind of intuitively manage from your interface?
Yeah, you know, and that's a really great question. And you know, I think our customers by and large find, you know, to be the latter. You know, they're all technically savvy, right? They've used lots of software in the enterprise. So we've made our interface really simple for them. We typically, what we'll do is we usually have what we call smart start remote engagement with our customers, where we'll spend 2.5-3 hours with them during the installation and kind of initial startup phase. We've given them a checklist, so they've gotten their environment, you know, prepped, and then we'll just basically watch them do the install and then provide insight, you know, as they're going through that process. And it's so simple, right? You know, you kind of basically encapsulate a workload. You do it once, you kind of go, oh, that's pretty simple. and you know, once it's encapsulated, then it's like, okay, we give you a command screen, that basically gives you a dashboard where you can see where it's running and, you know, what its status is. And then if you wanted to run someplace else, you just drag and drop it from there to, you know, this other system. And, you know, boom, it's happening over there after a few seconds. So, yeah, it's pretty easy, primarily because we don't introduce anything new, you know, per se to the customer. Right? We're taking advantage of their existing infrastructure. We're taking advantage of their existing software stack. We're just adding a very lightweight layer to it. So,
okay. So that was going to be my next question. So you're looking for customers who are really already doing Docker containerization?
Not necessarily, you know, cause I mean, you know, for our customers, a number of them are just looking at it. They haven't really gotten started. So, if they're thinking about adding Docker to their environment now, it's trying to bring those environments into production. They've got an easy way to do that. They may be experienced, maybe not experienced. You know, we've got lots of customers that are really focused on the legacy, legacy environments, databases, and et cetera. And so, you know, they've already got those systems up and running. And one of our great strengths is we can come in to that existing environment, encapsulate those existing workloads without disrupting, their operations as they're going. So we make it easy for us to be installed.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. You can connect with Ken via Twitter, LinkedIn, Skype, or email. If you'd like to sponsor a show, email ken@frugalnetworker.com.
So let's talk a little bit about that. We've kind of gone around it, but let's talk about onboarding a new company to your solution.
Yeah.
How would that work? I mean, somebody, you know, a large company comes to you and says, hey, we want to use your solution because we've got, you know, X problem. How do we get onboarded? How do you guys help with that?
Yeah. So what we normally do is, you know, let's take a scenario, a customer, you know, the Windows customer, they're using, you know, Windows environment. They've got lots of SQL Server. They want to do some things in terms of improving their efficiencies there. We basically send them a checklist and say, look, you got to have a supported version of SQL Server. And customers are good about that, right? They generally, that's all they have in their, you know, in their shop. I mean, occasionally, right, somebody's got something that's really out of date, but that's more of an anomaly. So, yeah, so they check that off. Yeah, we got that. Got to have, you know, a supported version of Windows Server operating system. You know, yeah, we got those two. Boom. We don't care which versions or versions they have. They just have to be supported versions. You know, we support a mixed environment. So you can have, like, Windows 2000 and 8R2 and Windows Server 2016, which they just introduced. So it doesn't matter to us, but just got to have a supported versions of operating systems. So once they've got that, you just install our software onto those servers as is, right? It's just an application like you would install Word or Excel. Right? You install our software on those. And then what we do is we're able to, then we help them say, okay, now we're going to create a virtual host, which is our mechanism for encapsulating workloads. And so once they've created virtual host, they have to give that virtual host an IP address. So, you know, part of the checklist we send them before, you know, we get started, say, okay, how many virtual hosts do you think you'll need? Okay, each one of those virtual hosts has to have an IP address. So depending on your organization, you may have to go talk to your networking team, right, to get IP addresses allocated to, you know, these virtual hosts. You know, they've done that work. The other thing they need to talk about is, okay, you're going to need a little bit of storage, right? Because every virtual host has to have its own storage associated with it that persists with it when it's moved around. So they may have to talk to their storage team about getting some storage allocated to the virtual host. But once that's done, you know, we install on each of the servers that they want to be a part of the environment. Say they've got, you know, four servers. We're going to start small. And we usually encourage our customers to start small because it's easy to grow it. You know, you don't want to try to boil the whole ocean in one shot. So start with four servers. You load us our software on those four servers. We create our virtual hosts. And then, you know, each virtual host is given its IP address. It's given some storage to manage. Once that's done, then you kind of say, okay, which workload do you want to start with? And, you know, our system is smart enough to go out and basically come back to them with a list of workloads that it can manage. And say, oh, yeah, we want to manage this one. So, you know, you click on it, you give it, you know, some information, press go, and then we encapsulate it. And now that once it's encapsulated, now you can start moving it around, right? And so that's what our customers do. They'll start, you know, testing it, say, okay, I'm going to move this, you know, and they'll start probably with something that's not critical yet, just to kind of get a feel for it. So that, you know, start with a non-critical workload, encapsulate it, start moving it around, get a feel for how the system works. You know, what are the kind of unique things about their environment they need to be aware of? But once they've kind of done that, and we kind of walk them through it, they kind of say, okay, we got this, you know, and they kind of play with it for a week, and then you know they'll start sending us, you know, support tickets and saying, hey, you know, ran into this, ran into that, you know, what about when I do this? What about when I do that? You know, and you know, just kind of go through that normal process. So, but it's pretty straightforward, you know, right? That, you know, as long as everybody does their homework, it generally goes really, really smooth.
And you
know, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I'm looking at this slide here, titled "Smart Availability versus High Availability." Now, I've worked in some HA environments myself, and it's often difficult to manage. You know, there's a lot more, there's a lot more to it than set it and forget it. You know, like the Ronco guy says, you know, it's a lot of manipulation. And when you fail over, it's not necessarily automatic, and especially fail back is not automatic.
Yeah.
Smart availability to me looks like 100% uptime, or what I guess if you do it the other way, it's zero downtime. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, you know, I mean, I depending on your environment, I think, you know, we always tell our customers we get, you know, near zero downtime. So we get it to, you know, depending on the customer's infrastructure, you know, we get it down to a few seconds. You know, if they've got a really kind of maxed out infrastructure in terms of, you know, networking and storage and things like that. But generally, you know, our customers typically see, you know, when they move a workload from one host to another host, something on the order of 30 seconds. Right, they take a 30-second outage, and you know, for all of our customers, that's I can live with that SLA every day, all day, right? So, that works for them. I think one of the things you point out though about high availability versus smart availability, I think that warrants a little bit of conversation. As you accurately pointed out, you know, the good that most customers have in their environment when they're thinking about making workloads highly available is like, I've got this failover thing that I've set up for this specific workload. So I've got two systems, they've been configured identically, and you know, they're designed so if the one system goes down, its clone can take over, right? But it's very specific to a specific application. Everything's got to be just right so that it happens, right? And as you accurately pointed out, it's fussy, right? What we've done with smart availability is take all the fuss out of it, right? So instead of everything having to be like for like, it's just, you just have to have systems that basically have the same operating system running in the environment. So, you know, if you got three systems, they're all running some supported version of Windows Server, you can move workloads around transparently, right? With, you know, our technology. So you don't have to be concerned about everything being configured identical. So what our customers, that flexibility, our customers can have virtual machines and bare metal standing up right next to each other. You know, for part of the time, processes are running in a virtual machine. And then when they need to, they can move it to a better execution environment, i.e. say, bare metal box, simple drag and drop, gets the result they want. When they're done, they can move it back to someplace else. We've had customers experiment with, you know, using the cloud, right, for that same purpose, running on-premise, move it into the cloud, get the result I want. Maybe, you know, I've got a time limit because of budgetary, you know, concerns, and then I can move it back on-premise. So smart availability gives you, you know, you don't think in terms of failover. You just think about moving workloads from host to another host anywhere for a given period of time, right? Always being able to find that best execution environment.
Right.
So that's a big deal. Yeah.
So for your current customers, Now, I'm sure you guys have done some studies on this and talked with people and so on, but what kind of conversion rates to your new solution do you expect?
You know, I mean, in terms of customers migrating from V17 or V16, say, to V17, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm proud of this, but it's better than people upgrading their iPhones. We make it so one of the things that we do is you don't have to bring, you know, for a lot of software, if you want to update it, you got to bring the system online, offline to do it. We've designed DX Enterprise so you don't have to ever take stuff offline, right? So you just don't. So what our customers appreciate is they basically can, you know, decide, okay, I'm going to upgrade these particular servers to V17. We have a mechanism. They freeze it, which means any processes that are running there continue to run there. We do our update, and then they can unfreeze it. So the freezing process just means that it's no longer a target for, you know, another workload going to it, right? So it's like temporarily isolated, right? But other than that, it's a very fast update process. And so our customers typically move from one version to the next. I'd say, you know, we get our entire install base updated within 6 months from the time we introduce a new release. They just, yeah. Because we make it so easy for them, right? We take all the biggest issue, like I said, is this idea of having to take something down. You don't have to take anything down. We've just designed our update process to account for that. So
very good.
It's pretty cool. And you know, just to compare that, as a result, you know, our customers, they love us. I mean, I'm sure every CEO wants to say that, but truthfully, I don't think, you know, you'd get that same response from Oracle customers, but not to pick on Oracle, but, you know, they got other issues, right? I mean, yeah. Oracle's the best database, you know, arguably the best database system in the world, right?
Sure.
Customers pay for that. They pay for that. But from our standpoint, our customers, you know, we survey our customers. They're extremely happy with what we do. We give them crazy level of support way beyond what their expectations are. You know, when they have a support contract, because we're in a pretty good cadence, a couple major releases, one major release every year, and then, you know, one kind of minor release every year. So they're getting, you know, steady stream of good updates. You know, they see their feedback, you know, being translated back into the product, right? So it's just a good win-win for everybody.
Very good. So I have one final question for you, and it's probably the biggest one of all. What is the cost of upgrading from V16 to V17?
So for customers that are, you know, for existing customers who are on support, it's no charge. Yeah.
Wow, that's right. a lot of feature for no charge for existing people.
Yeah. Okay. So, but let me caveat. The caveat is if you're a SQL Server user and you've been using SQL Server with V16 because that's all you could use, or Oracle. You can upgrade to the same level of functionality for V17 at no cost. However, if you want to take advantage of Docker, that would be an add-on charge,
sure.
Right? That would be an additional charge to add that level of functionality. But in terms of what you currently got today, just taking advantage of that same functionality, if you will, in V17, that's no charge.
Wow.
So the only thing you would be charged for is if you wanted to do Docker, essentially. Yeah. Right. I want to do Docker now, which you never did before. Right. So it's not like you had that.
Sure.
So, you know, we feel like it's fair that, you know, you would pay for that new level of functionality.
Right.
Yeah.
But for a one-for-one changeover, there's no change in cost to the customer.
No change in cost to the customer if they're on support. And all of our customers are on support for that reason. Right. It's like, you know, hey, it just doesn't make sense not to. Right.
Yeah.
Support.
Well, for this very reason, I mean, you get a major upgrade like this, you know, smart availability compared to high availability, and there's no charge for going there. I think it's pretty much a no-brainer, you know.
Pretty much no-brainer. Yeah. So, and again, we think it's just all about being fair and reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Everybody wins that way, right? So.
Very good. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to cover in the?
I don't think so. I think the only thing for the listeners out there, generally, right, this idea, lots of conversation about, okay, cloud and hybrid cloud and, I think really when you get down to it, it's what customers are really trying to figure out is, I've got some other possibilities for running my workloads, right? Where before I was constrained maybe to like only this set of resources. Now I could potentially add these new set of resources, and that's great. What you want is, it's a shameless plug, but what you want is DX Enterprise now to allow you to move your workloads to those new resources transparently without compromising, the activities that you have with your customers or the data that you've got that's crucial to your business. DX Enterprise V17 allows you to move workloads around from any host to any host anywhere at any time. So, here's the scenario. I move something to the cloud and suddenly Congress says, you can't do that anymore because you just can't. We don't want that done. Anybody who's done this, they got to move. You got to move your stuff. Everybody squawks, but you got to move it, right? You've seen that in Europe, right? They've gotten very fussy about, data and where it's at. So here you got a situation where now I got to maybe do a migration off of some cloud resources back to some on-premise resources. If you got a solution like DX Enterprise, that's just a drag and a drop. You're off that resources in less than 30 seconds, and you're good to go. Go put it someplace else. So that's what customers need to start thinking about, right?
Yeah, I agree.
What makes sense, and how can I do that with the least amount of disruption to my business?
Yeah, I mean, business continuity these days is absolutely essential, I think. And that's why when I saw the slide with smart availability, I just thought, hey, if I can get away with, 30 seconds of downtime, I'm good. Like you said,
yeah.
I think that's pretty much a no-brainer. But anyway, thank you, Don, for
being
with us today. And thanks for hanging in there with me on the scheduling thing, because that was totally my fault. So
no, it's okay. Yeah, we're really flexible. Yeah, it's all good.
Really appreciate it. Okay, thank you very much. We'll see you again.
Thank you, and be sure to tune in again to the Frugal Networker Podcast Show with host Ken Hess.